Coming to you from Capes HQ, this is Flipside Focus from Undercover Capes, all in the comics. Also, check out our parent company, ComicCrusaders.com, and also a special shout-out to Parkway Avenue, and check them out on ParkwayAvenue.com for the amazing intro song. We got indie comics, and we're here to discuss In Focus and also Kickstarter and everything else indie comics. I'm Dodge, and with me, as always, Captain Fuzzybeard himself, and you can see him in all his glory. That is Josh.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Very, very good. And with us, as always, the El Capitan, the CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes, the one, the only, Al Mega. Say hola!
What's going on, everybody, man? And yeah, this guy just starts the show, Josh, right? After being MIA on like a space mission forever.
Yeah, about
for like Nexus or some shit. And he just opens up the show. Welcome back, bro. Wherepa.
Thanks, boys. And I'm so glad to be back talking indie comics and being back in the UCPN fold. But man, I'm uber excited. Who's excited for Spawn number 300?
Oh, man. Who are you asking? you saw my black and white editions I got leading up to the new 98 to 99. Aren't they pretty?
Oh, man, they're pretty sexy.
I feel like that
was a loaded question. Like, who's excited for Spawn? Like, Al's going to be like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody is. Did you hear that, you know, since we haven't spoken about this for a while, Dodgy, and apparently in issue 302... they're finally going to present the She-Spawn, and it's being said that it goes back to a character from the movies that also debuted in the comics in early issues, Jessica Priest. Remember her, the assassin girl from the movie itself?
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I kind of have an idea.
Yeah, well, she's going to be a She-Spawn, so I don't know. Hopefully it's Ace. A Spawn, not a replacement for Spawn. So let's see. Even though I understand the mythos, yes, but whatever. I can't see Al gone.
So Al.
So what you're saying is the Spawn is more of a title, kind of the same approach as say 007 and other characters that...
Wait, 007... Yeah, well, 007 is a code synonymous with a male. So if you're going to do anything outside of that, it should be outside of the 007 code. You know, since it's so affiliated with the same name. I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying personally, you know, if for that, just create a new code. Stop trying to mess with shit. I mean, with Spawn, it's just, you know, it's always been known in the history that there's been Spawns prior. You know, to Al. So it's a known fact, and that's nothing new. You know, I'm just as a fan, just so, you know, happy with, you know, remember we lost Al for a while with Jim Downing replacing him, and then now Al coming back into the fold finally to exact his vengeance upon heaven and hell and everybody else. You know, I'll be very sad if I no longer see Al, you know, after a 300, even though I may know, like, the Crow, his mission may be done.
Yeah. Well, but it'll still be awesome nonetheless.
I'm sure. Of course, it's Todd McFarlane, and he's also involved in 301 or 302, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for 301 because it reminds me of Amazing Spider-Man 301, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
Okay. Oh, my God. How dare he mention a big two book on our podcast? You know what, Dodger, just for that's already one thong you got to wear already, and you know what color it is.
How do you know I'm not wearing ready?
Oh, I know. You did it for good luck for the show.
So, speaking of other big indie comics news, The Boys is rocking it on Amazon Prime.
Have you watched that, Dodgy? The Boys on Amazon?
So, I was like, I thought, yeah, I might give it a shot because, I mean, I know about the book. I've seen it in the local comic book stores. It's published by Dynamite, but I was like, oh, I might give it a shot. And from what I saw of this nice love story and then just that twist that unfolded with the guy's girlfriend, like, I was like, holy shit.
Right in the beginning, yep.
You know, this is like something I saw. And, like, I was like, fuck.
That he's just holding her hands and shit. Yeah. I mean, wow, that's, you know, what would you do?
Hey?
What would you do?
I mean, I'd be going ape shit, man. I mean, if she was a girl I was breaking up with, I wouldn't give two shits. But man, if she was like, thankfully we broke up. Like,
there you go.
Hey, train, you saved me the effort.
See, Dasha have a lot of trouble, man, if that happened, because he got to take a lot of body parts out of his beard. Right?
Gross.
Anyway, but man, it was like a really good start to the show. I was like really impressed.
But have you noticed that it's the indie shows that seem to take off and spread like wildfire?
Definitely.
You know, nothing against the big two shows and all of that, because, I mean, CW's got some amazing stuff, but it's all the indies that have really done wonders. You look at The Walking Dead, you know, now The Boys.
Deadly Class, even though it got canceled.
Yeah.
Deadly Class.
Umbrella Academy was pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank God they renewed it, because that damn last episode left you wanting more.
Exactly.
That was kind of like the end of Morgan's Organs 3. I wanted more.
More Pepe?
Yes. We need more Pepe in our lives.
You need a lot more Pepe. He loves Pepe.
For those of you who are watching or will listen to the pod later, if you're wanting to know what the hell we're talking about, listen to the last episode.
Oh, man. So you're talking about Pepito and all that stuff, man. Daniel actually ahead.
He's going to show us his Pepe.
Hey, hold on. Let me unzip over here for a moment. I think I put it away.
put it away.
Oh, no, actually, here we go. Look. Here we go, guys.
Nice.
Number 3.
Yeah, man. And if you guys are listening, Al's got a nice cover right there.
Man, and he actually included a couple of goodies in here. Josh, did you get your copy? Because I did see your name mentioned in the back cover.
I have not got mine yet. I've got physical copies of books 1, 2, and 3 coming.
You're going to die, guys. Look at the sticker he gives me.
Nice cap.
Yeah. Josh has realized what the hell. Yeah, man, they gave me a Pepe sticker and this foldable card here, you know, with Bram the Brain.
You know, it's funny, he had to take the sticker of Pepe and get it so close to the camera to make it actually, you know, visible. It's an issue that Al Mega has had for years.
That's fucked up, Josh.
He just needs to show people.
I think I'm gonna have the next time I see Josh. Next time I see Josh, I'm gonna go Puerto Rican, pull out my shank, and cut him on the top of his head so he could look like the dude from Preacher.
Guess I gotta go Stone Cold on you, Vince.
Dodgy's enjoying this. Yeah, welcome back to the zoo, bro.
I'm so glad you guys left a cage for me.
Yeah, man. You know, we left it rotten food, though. So hopefully you kick some ass. And a cheers to you coming back, brother.
Thanks, bro.
Oh, shit. I knew I forgot something. Damn it.
He has coffee. I have beer. And Josh is dry. There you go. That's why he's a designated host of A Hammered Heroes.
Exactly.
Very true. There was something. I don't remember. Whatever. On with the show.
All right. So let's kick it off with In Focus. So just to give you guys an idea, we go through comic books and we read them and we review them. And none of them are from the big two or any other prime publisher. So this is actually a book that came out on Kickstarter last year. It's called The Scientist, Part 1 and Part 2. by Trent Beckett and Jeff Weber. It's basically a group of like school kids. So you imagine like the Goonies type of scenario. You've got a whole bunch of kids who deal with like adult issues. You know, their enemies are adults, and adults are doing shitty things, and the kids are the ones who are left to save the day. So we've got a character. He's the protagonist. His name is Stuart Chin. You know, he's grown up in a privileged life. His father's a doctor, and people keep reminding him that his father's a doctor, and he's getting annoyed because he wants to be his own man. He wants to be his own person, and he's finding that really difficult as everything's given to him. He's trying to pick up girls. There's one girl he has in mind. Her name is Whitney. She's probably not to his level of intellect, but he still thinks she's hot, and he's trying to meet up with her. Anyways, I don't know how, but they all find, like, all these young kids are find themselves on an airplane flying to Syracuse, and they basically get sidetracked through turbulence, and they land in an area where they have a pyramid. Kind of weird, but, when they go inside this pyramid, they're finding themselves in, like, a scenario where they're all wearing, like, spacesuits, and they don't know why, and they're going through mazes and stuff. And I actually thought it was kind of fun because, you know, every scene and every stage of the book out of the two books, because they're both connected, both a continual story, I thought it was kind of fun. And the art, though, is quite questionable because it's like watercolors, black and white. So it may not fit everyone's taste in terms of what you're reading, but I actually really enjoyed it. I think the art helped. It gets better in book two because I find the art is more cleaner and it's a bit of better quality. I think with Weber's art, it takes a little bit more time in book two, I think, because it looks a lot cleaner, a lot neater and easier to read. Figure what things are and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely worth a look. I would really, really love to see this as a movie, man. Like, I think it would probably better suit as a movie. But as a book alone, I think it was good fun. And I think if anyone wants to read something a little bit like Goonies, because I'm a massive fan, like, love that movie so much. And I actually felt connected to it like that. Even the movie The Young Scientist with the young River Phoenix and Matt. Okay. What's his name? Ethan Hawke. That was a good movie as well. But, yeah, definitely worth a look. You could, just check it online. Check out thescientist.com.
I just actually share the covers so people could, see them.
Yeah, for sure. I don't actually have the physical comic, but it's on digital. But, yeah, I can definitely share it out.
No, I already shared it, I said, while you were talking. I shared the covers, because I have the PDF. So I'm bringing up what we're discussing because people need to look at the cover to double confirm what Flipside Focus says is kick-ass.
Bam.
Absolutely.
So,
have you guys...
So I read through The Scientist. The story is honestly the redeeming quality of it. To be completely honest, I struggled with the artwork. I couldn't get into it. Just didn't tickle my fancy. But that being said, have had the artwork been a different route. I still like the idea of it being black and white or black and gray, but had it not been that watercolor approach, I probably would have been even more interested into it. But Dodgy, I definitely agree that definitely one that seeing it as a live action would be definitely worth the story to see come to life. Whether it is animated or live action, it can go either way.
I agree because the art, like Dodgy said, it's not for everyone. I'm not gonna say it's horrible. It is what it is. But if you do look at it, it does look like it's an animated film in a storyboard style. When they put one in production, that's kind of what the artwork really looks like. So yeah, I do agree that maybe it would work better in an animated fashion. But hey, they got a nice little story here. There's a family-friendly story, which is key. Your young adults and kids trying to get back into reading in this culture. Keep it alive. So just for that, for the innocence behind it and all, I think it's pretty cool. An adventure. I recommend it. I'm just on the fun part of it. You know what I mean? Again, it may not be for everybody, but for kids, I think for sure, definitely peep it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are some gory bits in it, so maybe I think eight onwards in terms of age. I wouldn't go too young.
No, not too much. Yeah, but gore is gore. Hey.
Yeah.
These kids be watching some crazy. Remember, now their characters die. Back in the day, we had, what was it, G.I. Joe? And anybody was shooting and nobody got hit?
Exactly.
The worst aim. What bad armies, my God. Who won wars?
We had He-Man who, like, never used his sword. He just picked people up and threw them.
That's fun, though. I would still like to do that. I mean, no offense to anybody here. I'm about to say some stupid shit, but no offense. Would he have... Being that he always picked up people, would he been a midget-tossing champ, you think?
Well, if you call Beastman a midget, yeah, he'd definitely be a champ.
Wow.
Hey, it's a thing. You've seen it. Wow. Right? No, my fault.
Hey, no judgment for me. Actually, right. Now who am I kidding? I'd be judging the whole damn time.
Of course you would.
I'm kind of an asshole like that, and I don't care. But that's all right. That's very good. Very, very good.
And Dyer, like, he's starting to be... Dyer, you look like a reporter for CNN or some shit. You all right, bro?
Yeah, man, all good.
He's like, reading crap. Comics, they... fucking nuts.
He had the look of, crap, I've been caught. Uh-oh.
All right, so, all right, Al. So since you spoke, what have you got in focus?
Well, I got something that was actually sent by a friend of Comic Crusaders. He is an independent creator, and you've probably seen him all over social, Frankie White, right? He actually has a new comic book called Broken Bear from Caliber Comics. It's a story told by Frankie and Adam Markowitz. I hope I said that right. Colors by EHG. Edited by Andrea Rolenzo Molinari. All right. The art is nice. It has this Sean G. Murphy feel to the art. You know Sean G. from Batman White Knight.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and other stories and such. So the artwork kind of fits in that mold. So I'm a Sean G. fan. So I really love the art. The colors really do stand out. And the story is a little twisted here. Here you have somebody that is being mentored by someone saved, if you will, right? The apprentice. And the apprentice, well, being tempted, if you will, makes some very fucked up decisions, all right? That brings about one hell of an adventure that throughout the story, she almost starts thinking, was this initial error I made really worth all this trouble? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's definitely she's a strong female character. So you definitely have that, you know, if you will, that, you know, it's almost a curse word to people sometimes, but it's not political, but you're saying it's a feminist book because you see a very strong female character, kicks ass, takes no nonsense. You know what I mean? You want to proclaim that feminist, well, whatever. It is what it is. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what you should want in life anyway, a nice, strong, kick ass woman anyway. We'll talk. And the movie just moves along like a movie, and definitely has those segues as such, you know, where those little abrupt type of cuts where it goes from one scene to another. So again, they've done a very nice job with it. Caliber Comics, you know, does do high caliber books, no pun intended. And I think Frankie White did pull off, along with his writing partner, had pulled off a pretty good tale here in Broken Bear. I would definitely recommend checking this book out. Take a look. Again, it's definitely worth. This is 114 pages of content you're gonna get out of this book. You know what I mean? So it's definitely worth it. It's a nice read. It's not really that long of a read, meaning that it's not wordy. But again, you could definitely appreciate the art within the book and the colors, which really stand out.
Absolutely, the art does the storytelling. It doesn't require it. It didn't require a whole shit ton of dialogue, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know I've I've said multiple times on Definitive Crusade, where I get very critical of books that are dialogue heavy. And so to have, I freaked out a little bit. I was like, 114 pages. Holy shit. That's a lot of reading. Yeah. Holy hell.
So you thought, yeah.
Or so I thought. Because, again, as you said, as you were reading through it, it did have that transition like a movie. Cutting from one scene to the next. I didn't even feel like there was any really lull moments in the story. It had a nice flow throughout it. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but that's what I was catching. The artwork, spot on. Loved it.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely loved it. So, definitely a great read, and it was nice to actually have a book that had some meat with it, you know, because typically what books are, anywhere from 23 to 32 pages.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, about three and some change trade paperbacks all in one.
It's three floppies, just about. Absolutely. It's definitely worth it. Did you check that out, Dodgy?
Yeah, definitely I did. I mean, you mentioned before that it's not wordy, but I don't think it's under word, like it's not underdone either. So
No, it's definitely not.
Words, you know, just to reiterate, there are words, but it's more, you know, you have like some pages are only three panels. Or you have like one big splash page and like two small panels at the bottom, which I like because you're right, the art is telling the story, but there are words to coincide. So you are getting the best of both worlds. But the coloring though, like it actually reminds me of an 80s comic with the way it's been colored. It has like that off, it's almost like it's not bright. It's got that slight dullness to it, which I really like. It means
that's Bill Sienkiewicz type coloring, no? Bill Sienkiewicz type coloring, no?
Absolutely. New Mutants, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So it has that sort of that bleakness to it. It feels like, this is not a romance, like a, you know, a fairy tale. This is actually like war and, you know, there's suffering here in this book. And
I think a lot of suffering.
Could you imagine, though, having that on the newsprint? Like you open it up and get that smell of the newsprint paper?
I wish. Well, that would only happen if it goes to all Turner right now.
Sorry, boys. I think I need to go to the bathroom.
Get this man a tube sock.
Well, remember, he's sitting down. So who says he doesn't have one now?
Man, it's just a pillow.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. It's really nice out here in Utah.
Yeah, you heard of a dream catcher. His stuff catches something else.
I just... that moment when I opened my mouth and I was like, oh, no, you're going there. No, shit. Oh, well. Oh, well.
But, hey, man, so that's my pick. So I definitely think you guys should definitely check that out, man. Please.
Yeah, definitely. All right. All right, Josh, what's your pick and in focus?
Oh, I get a second chance at a good pick. Get it? Segue. Uh-oh. So my pick, we're talking about the book Second Coming. This is the book from Ahoy Comics that, to be honest, is amazing. Now,
I
will preface this by saying that if you are easily offended, you might want to pass on this book, and I'll explain why here in just a moment. Oh my hell. You know that moment when you're like, okay, I've got this all queued up. I'm all ready. Oh, you bastard. Al is showing us the physical copies, and I'm
very jealous. Yeah, I got them.
Very jealous. So, Second Coming, it is written by Mark Russell, art by Richard Pace, and then now on here it says finisher. That, I was a little confused. What do they mean by finisher?
Well, it was a second coming. But I'm sorry. You just laid it out there. I couldn't help myself.
That's what she said.
Oh,
I'm going to assume that he did finishing touches on the art, on the colors. So is Leonard Kirk is the... Oh, God, they're going to listen to this and go, seriously, that's the way you went? Well, you know what? You got a damn good book, so appreciate it. Colors also done by Andy Troy with letters by Rob Steen. So the reason why I say if you're easily offended by this, to honestly take a pass, we take the story of man and how man came about from as far as the Old Testament is telling us. And I never realized, I guess growing up in religion, understanding these stories from the Old Testament and whatnot, it was always, you know, God does what he does because he loves us, yada, yada. But this story, God's pretty much annoyed with all of us because we're apparently dumber than shit. At least how this book portrays it, which I found to be quite entertaining. But the premise is Jesus is obviously wanting to help mankind, but helping us in the present day in the world of superheroes. And what a fantastic read. What a fantastic experience this is. The artwork is fantastic. This is one that, you know, we talked about The Boys and how Amazon is really having a lot of creative liberties in how they show their story. Second Coming is one that would do very well. It definitely pushes the boundaries on what people will or will not be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done so well, and oh my hell, I loved it. Is it blasphemous from a particular point of view? It could be. It could be, depending on if you're a gentle snowflake or not.
Everybody's a very gentle snowflake.
But... just such a great read. Such a fun story. And makes Jesus cool.
Do you think that DC merited it being, you know, discarded by them?
I think DC is...
made a mistake.
Well, I'm actually glad they passed on it. For the following reason. Had they kept it, they would be limited as to what they could do, the boundaries they could push by the powers that be. You look at what happened with Batman Damned when the Batawang was shown.
And the first appearance of the Bat Baby.
You know, we see how society freaked out. I don't think this book would have been a success had it stayed with DC. I am super happy that Ahoy Comics got it. They are doing fantastic work between this book and The Wrong Earth. DC, thank you for passing on it. Because now we get to enjoy the story as it was originally intended.
Yeah, so it ships Ahoy for you for sure.
Exactly.
And Dodgy, are you aware of the whole Second Coming controversy, how DC was supposed to be in DC Vertigo title, it wound up getting canceled because European Christian groups had an issue with it?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about Vertigo, they were pretty controversial in the past, especially when you look at, like, The Preacher and other characters.
Yeah, right?
Sort of the, you know, Antichrist or whatnot. I don't see why this is just such a big issue. But because it is just a comic, really.
Yeah.
But
I just
to their own, and
I like that the
I mean,
I like that Mark Russell has stood his ground on this. So yeah, it's just a story. I'm taking an existing story and creating a new one. You know, he's not intentionally trying to shit in anyone's Cheerios.
He's not, because Jesus stays true to himself, as at least we've read in the Bible within the story.
Yeah,
he's not some gung-ho type of dude. Yeah, you know,
he's not changing. You know, Jesus's character. He's just expounding on what we already know.
Yeah. And I guess kudos to Ahoy Comics, because they're actually keeping the story running rather than just canceling. We never know what happens at the end, and
you
know, the story is told still. So,
enjoy the moment when Eve is trying to explain why they had the fruit, and she's lawyer balling God, and you've got Adam in the back just playing with his pecker, just like ooh. I'm like, they got mankind down pat.
Yeah, everybody's playing with their Pepe, apparently.
The Pepe Party.
Pepe Party.
Shh, that's supposed to be in book four, damn it.
Holy shit, the Pepe Party. Hey, Mark, there you go, Daniel. We are holding the copyright to the Pepe Party.
But
that's the next title for Hammered Heroes.
No. No. If we have ladies there, it's not a Pepe party, because then it's Pepe and Bacalao.
Or Pepe walks to the nightclub.
Oh, shit.
Gets scared and goes limp.
Oh, shit. But you know that he starts sniffing that shit, it's a wrap, bro. So, yeah, listen, what are we going to get into next, man? Because I really want to get into this new publisher that sent me some titles. They actually hit me up on an email today as we record while we're live. So shout out. Shout out to everybody watching. Thank you for watching. If you're hanging out with us, this is Flipside Focus and Undercover Capes. Wherepa. Yeah, man. So what are we getting into next, Dodgy? You know, this is the return of the originator of Flipside Focus, the host. He's been MIA almost half the year.
Yeah, man. All right. So, you know, one of my personal favorites when it comes to Flipside Focus, and one I've been mainly proud of, is talking Kickstarter.
Okay. Like,
but this Kickstarter I really am super excited to talk about is one that is not unknown to a lot of us, especially growing up in comics, especially in the 1990s. Because this...
Not for gay.
No, definitely not. No, but this is like, this really got my whistle wet when I saw this on Kickstarter, because I'm like, man, I really want to.
You got moist.
Yeah, I gotta donate. This is Brian Polita. I'm sure you guys know.
I met him, dude.
Yeah, Lady Death, Blasphemy Anthem number one.
No.
So this is going on Kickstarter. This is massive, man. Like, dude, you talk about, okay, talking in Aussie dollars here, right?
Yeah.
Their goal, $22,202, right? Have a guess at how much they've actually earned so far, and they've got 13 days to go. $394,846 22,000. Like,
damn.
Imagine what the goodies will be like.
That's about the same as the Earthworm Jim campaign.
Yeah, Jim on Indiegogo is about the same too.
Back that bitch. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I met him at San Diego Comic Con. He had referred to the show being, you know, the book being on a Kickstarter and whatnot. So yeah, he's very proud of it, because again, as a 90s property, it's actually made a very healthy return in current times.
Yes, definitely. Even the first app is pulling a lot of money too. So if you can get
it going for? Yeah, it's an Evil Ernie, right?
Yeah, Evil Ernie number one. That's her first appearance. I think from what I've seen, it's probably between $150 to $300 on eBay.
Gotcha. Okay. That's a speculator site. Not bad.
Yeah, so it's pulling pulling a few dollars, but man, like bro, it's massive, like the amount of stuff you can get. Like when you look at the $20 mark, I'm not really keen on, you know, the trucker cap and that sort of stuff. I want some books, man. Ooh, nice sticker you got. Oh, that's not a sticker, that's your trophy.
That's our trophy.
Our trophy.
You like how we quickly jumped on that hour.
My bad.
Yeah. Just
see what you're missing, Dazzy. See what you're missing, Dazzy. Award-winning programs on the cover capes.
Definitely. But yeah, like guys, it's really worth a look if you really do want to get some nice Lady Death merch. Check it out on Kickstarter. You got 13 days to go. Surely enough, you spend probably around 20 to 50 US. You probably will get yourself some really nice loot. You know, some nice swag in that pledge, and definitely worth a checkout. What about you guys? What have you guys got on the Kickstarter?
Go ahead, Ironfall.
Well, the one that I found that was intriguing, it's Ned, Lord of the Pit, a comedy of terrors.
About the armpits?
No, wrong pits. Oh. this is by Jim Calafiore?
Calafiore, yeah.
Calafiore? Okay. Jim?
Calafiore!
I'm sorry, I butchered your name. My bad. So the story is about Ned. Such a great name for a character, Ned. But his life just kind of takes a shit, if you will. And then as this happens, he's opened up to a whole new... Oh, wow. I almost went Disney on that for a moment. A whole new world. Oh, God. I can't believe that just happened.
Embrace it.
I'll give you my autograph next time I see you, John.
Go.
But just the artwork on this book is phenomenal. Like, I don't know about you, assholes. you guys are
the book is
beautiful. Yeah. For Kickstarters, I mean, this is a fantastic deal, and looks like the just from what I was seeing, the premium, the top tier rewards that you get, you're getting some pretty crazy prints that are not limited to just indie. So I like the fact that Jim is expanding to all comicdom, if you will, not just sticking to just the story with the rewards. He's expanded it to even more. So so far the book, let me get back to it. So the goal is $38,000, and they've already raised $21,313. So definitely they've got a lot of ways to go with only 12 days left at the time of this recording. But from what I'm seeing, this is a damn good book and one worth picking up. So, indeed. And especially if they hit I think it was the $40,000 mark for that first stretch goal, it'll be a hardcover book.
Okay.
Which, you can never go wrong with a hardcover book.
Definitely not. No way.
So, definitely one I would recommend picking up. 144 pages. I mean, that's a good amount of content.
Yeah, I mean, and the art as well. There's that one with Ned and a new friend. Like, that image alone is definitely intriguing.
Yeah.
But then again, it looks like more like a horror. Like, that image alone looks more like a horror image. Well, but it's supposed to be a comedy terror, so we shall see. That actually makes the story more exciting, because if that is going to be a comedy, okay.
Ned's going to get the shit scared out of him, literally.
Right?
Literally.
Literally.
Well, I got something, you know, besides getting the shit scared out of you, there's also another unstoppable force I want to talk about. The Kickstarter, and right now it's only 20 hours left, and this is the official character guide of Unstoppable Comics. Unstoppable Comics, what was his name? I forget names. I'm bad with names. You should know me already. Let me get down, scroll down over here. There we go. JD Rosario. All right. He's had this independent comic book company for now 11 years. 11 years strong, right? With several titles under the belt of the Unstoppable Comics brand. And due to the length of time now that he's been producing comic books, he thought it was time. Let's create a character guide. So this is the perfect opportunity for people to get familiar with the Unstoppable Comics brand. I mean, he got titles such as Storm Chasers, Shield of the Interceptor, Unstoppable Origins, Dragon Storm, New York versus the World. So it goes from superhero genre to, you know, to horror, if you will. You know, with great story, great art, a wonderful independent company, and you also get to choose a lot of cool swag and character t-shirts that they have available. You know, take a look at them, man. This is an unstoppable company. I think that they have a great product here. We should see a lot of things coming. JD is doing his thing, man. Shout out. That's New York right there, kiddo.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm looking at some of the artwork here, especially for the Unstoppable cover with that big, like, Viking dude holding that gigantic sword. Like,
yeah. Ooh.
That art is hot, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and even just the images, like, I'm reading some of them, you know, page 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 5, you know, all the way up to page 8. Like,
yeah.
Man, that shit is, it's dope, man. Like,
yeah, and it's a very diverse cast. You got, you know, Latino, Black, female, you know, all types of characters from all different, you know, races and whatnot. And I have met him as well at New York Comic Con. And he's like, what superhero names themselves? Because we were talking about how Marvel created the first Latino character, you know, Puerto Rican in White Tiger, you know, bring this up. But he had named himself, oh, I'm going to call myself White Tiger. You know, point of fact, there are no such things as White Tigers in Puerto Rico. So why would he even name himself that? But whatever, that's another story. So JD was bringing that to the extent that no character would name themselves over time. And they really wouldn't try to go ethnic anyway if they did. It kind of makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, if you look at these characters, they're diverse, but if you look at their superhero name, you never think as such, which I guess maybe makes a reader more comfortable, hopefully, because, you know, even the comic climate nowadays sometimes gets a little crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it's a great line of books. You should definitely check it out, man. I think it's definitely worthy. And right now, this particular project has got only a few hours left. Since this is live, why not mention a live project? You know, right now? So we're 20 hours left.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth a look.
Yep. All right, what are we going to get into next, man? Because I definitely got one other new company out there. They got some books, man.
Oh, yes. And I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I, honestly, bro, I don't really have anything else. So I think now the floor is yours.
Oh, awesome, man. I don't know if you guys checked them out, man. And the creators, shout out to them.
I did. I'm
awesome. Yeah, man. The creator came through today. Hey, any update? And I, informed them. Yes. Update is, we're going to talk about it on Flipside Focus, and they got very excited. This new universe of comics, Omen Comics and the Omenverse. Very cool new independent line. All right. And again, I'm not going to say that the art is top tier. No, it's not. But, you know, it's independent and they're coming through with some cool storytelling. And the two books that they have out right now is Omen, number one, and Gallows Men, number one. And let me tell you, they tie into one another. And what I really loved about this, and this is something that I think that they took from Doubletake while they existed, was the use of panels, you know, in one book one way, and then you see the other scene in the other book from an alternate view, you know?
So when I read both books, so I actually read Omen first.
Okay. And I was reading through it,
and I was like, holy shit, this book is hot. Love it. Absolutely love it. And then I jumped. The story was fantastic. And then I jump into Gallows Men, and I'm like, okay, thinking it's going to be a different story. And then I get in, and it was a couple pages in, and Al, you had mentioned how they used the same panel but at a different angle, and it happened, and I'm sitting there going, whoa,
right.
Because I remember that moment in Omens, and to have it show up in Gallows, I was like, oh.
And it was a nice way that they did it, man, for the story, yep.
Yeah, so definitely, I like what they're doing, creating two separate stories, but still having them intertwined.
Yeah.
I'm so on board with this concept. I like the idea. So in Omen, I like the idea that heaven and hell are corporations, which I found that to be absolutely hilarious.
And it's kind of spawnish because, you know, if you look at how heaven and hell is incorporated in Earth, and we know what, they are kind of businesses, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, and it definitely had that Spawn feel, but I don't feel like it was taking the concept of Spawn and recreating.
Oh, no, not at all. They definitely went way off.
Because about halfway through that first 10 pages-ish, I was like, okay, that's kind of where my mind was going, was, oh, this is going to be very Spawnish. And then, whoop, nope, definitely not. Yep. So, you know, hats off to Omen Comics for thinking I had it figured it out, or I had it figured out, and then did not.
Yeah, you know, and just a shout out, so that way you guys know the creators of the Omenverse, if you will. So the creator writer is Michael Nunnally. I'm so sorry if I messed you up there. With Sika Tosin, Guido Martinez, Roland Kalnins, Mike, again, and David Frazier. So great job, guys. I think you guys got something special here. Again, my only recommendation, you know, just keep brushing up on that art. That's my only recommendation. I don't know if you agree, Josh, but on both books, you know, one was maybe a little bit cleaner than the other. I think that Gallows had a lot more cleaner scenes. It may be because also they had a little bit more vibrant colors, because Omen is a little bit darker book. A lot more action and stuff going on in it.
I would say, definitely clean up the artwork, you know, the line work and stuff like that. But
the concept is there.
The colors are there. Yeah, yes. Just tighten up that line work. Wow, I feel like I'm a judge on Ink Master. Just tighten up the line work. Pack in the black. No. But, no, great job, guys. I loved your book. I'm excited to see what else you come up with. Honestly, I would love to see this as like a Telltale series game.
That would be cool, but you know, is the Telltale still around?
They're not? ? I don't think they are, but that whole like choose your adventure type approach would work. Or even like a Diablo type game.
And so you guys know, if you want to get access to Omenverse And they also have another line called Revelation Comics. And if you guys hear the names, yes, they have very, you know, again, religious type themes and whatnot. You know, similar to almost what Mad Cave is doing, right, as well, with Knights of the Golden Sun, is it? You know, kind of, you know, religious themes. Yeah, but they make it fun, pretty cool for you to get into. They're not being preachy. So for Omen Comics, check them out. You can actually see them at patreon.com/OmenComics. All right, take a look and see what they got to offer. You know, you get a subscription and get these books in digital format. Mm. I think it's definitely a worthy look, man.
Yeah.
Do they actually have printed books, or are they only online?
Well, right now, I see digital copies. Oh, well, yes, he's holding a printed copy. So I guess the pendant, yeah, if you pay $7 or more a month, you are eligible for print copies.
Oh, so you're supporting the Patreon.
Yes. So $5 or less, you're getting digital. $7 or more, you will get print.
Do they also have social media presence as well?
Yeah, I believe it was Omen Comics. Let's go right now. On Twitter, it's Comics Omen, all right? And then if you want to go and check them out on Facebook, then it makes sense there, where it's Facebook Omen Comics, all right? And let's see where else they're at. They also have an Instagram. And did they catch their name? No, on the Instagram, it seems to be the creator's name, Michael Nunley. That's with two N-U-N-N-E-L-E-Y. All right, so check him out. He shows off a new comic book that he has coming out. Check it out. You're talking about Kickstarter. It seems there's a new one, a new book for the Omenverse called White Druid and Michael Nero. You know, pretty cool, by Steve Sellers and Awesika Tosin. So check that out. It seems like there's a new book going there. All right?
Yeah, love that book. That, yeah, nice. Loved it. I don't think I could say that enough. Loved it.
Sorry, what did you say, Josh?
Loved it.
He loved that the book.
He loved it a long time.
Yeah, brother. So, Darcy, just to explain, how was that mission of yours that you've been away? Did you survive well? Did you eat well in your mission?
Yeah, my mission, it went through some turbulence, some rocky moments, some shitty moments. But now, the next level is up. So yeah, I landed on a nice planet and, you know, met some nice people. And now I found myself, and they helped me get back to Earth. But yeah, things are looking good. So my mission is over, and now the new mission is, contributing to Flipside Focus, and I'm uber excited for it.
Well, it's good. We're happy to have you back for sure, brother.
It's awesome because the audio guy has been up our ass about you being gone.
Yeah, I'm
so sorry, man, and apologies to audio guy.
That audio guy is a douchebag, and oh my God.
But Daji, I do want to say this. If he sends you a weird message talking about that he wants to smell the green thong, just ignore him. He's very weird that way.
Oh, man, I've already sent it to him. Damn it. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Josh, maybe that's why he's been kind of a little off and didn't bring the new podcast to me yet.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
I think that's why he missed the next UCPN special.
You'll have to take that up with him. I mean, I've got no control over him.
Yeah, man, he was really smelling down under.
Oh, God. What a segue to the end of the show.
First time. Well, not always. Sometimes it's bad.
Oh.
No, man. It's just fun, man. It's just fun to finally be back with our homeboy that's been MIA for a very long time.
Yes. So listeners, if you want to check us out more, check out Podbean. Any other podcast content, you will find us there. Look under Undercover Capes. We are Flipside Focus, the true indie podcast. And also shout out to our friends at Buy Indie Comics Day. Shout out to those boys there.
Oh, yeah, man, because Josh did a kick-ass performance. that we mentioned last time.
Yeah, definitely. And and also check out comiccrusaders.com for all things, you know, comic pop culture. And also our other stations on UCPN.
It's been a while. He's so rusty.
Like the U.S. Postal Service, no. All right, yeah, on behalf of myself, Dodgy, our Josh, we wish you, a good day, good night, whatnot, and I'll see you on the flip side.